Broadcasting live.
It's America's longest running talk show on computers. It's Computer America, bringing you the biggest names in technology with guest interviews, new products, and your emails. Listen live at ComputerAmerica.com
on any device around the world.
Email the show at live@ComputerAmerica.com or find us on social media.
Be sure to check out our website for contests, giveaways, show notes, live video stream, podcasts, and more.
You're listening to Computer America.
Hello and welcome back into the Computer America Show, everyone. We are the nation's longest running, nationally syndicated radio talk show on computers and technology. Everyone, welcome back into the program. Today on the show, we have the one, the only, PopZara.com, Mr. Nathan Evans himself, where we will be talking about really just about everything, pop culture, current events, stuff like that. But if you head on over to PopZara.com, you, of course, see a lot of, honestly, just everything entertainment. They have everything from games, books, movies, movies, TV shows, anime, just, you know, even... And did I mention books? Yeah, how many people are really giving book reviews? Well, hey, it's right over there at PopZara.com. But before we get to that, ComputerAmerica.com, that's where you'll find everything, including a link to our guest website, a link to all of our social media, and a link to all of the things that we do there at Computer America. I think with that, we're just going to go ahead and jump right into it. I hope you're having a great Friday. It's been a long week, everyone. I really feel for the events that have happened recently, but man, it's I think a lot of people are ready for this week to be over and the long weekend to begin. So everyone, let's go ahead and get started with, again, Nathan Evans, longtime Computer America correspondent and, of course, managing editor of PopZara.com. Nathan, welcome back into the program. How are you? Please do.
For some people, it's a long week every week. And just because certain events get a little more attention than others, I want to make a plea to everybody listening, a plea from me to you. Just because someone cares to talk about your problems or doesn't care to talk about your problems doesn't mean you're not going through them. And sometimes it can be hard to look at tragedies that happen in the news and to think, oh, this country's terrible, or these people are terrible, or why is this happening? Understand, as bad as it seems, these are minority situations. These don't happen with frequency. These don't happen with the regularity that the media would have you believe sometimes. And as bad as it is, and they are bad, understand there's more good than bad out there. And just try to find ways to keep your sanity, because if you're going to fix the world, if you're going to change, it's going to need people who aren't that crazy, who can think clearly and won't use every instant they can to try to take advantage. So just hang in there. There's more good than bad.
There's a lot of good definitely happening out there. So, you know, we've already mentioned stuff about all that on the show, but we're going to move on to more fun things because, hey, you know, that's more fun. Let's go ahead and start things off. Oh, actually, before even that, Nathan, how you been? How you doing? Feeling okay?
Yeah, a little better, a little jet lagged. So don't ever reset your Windows machine the day of a show. Don't do that. Don't be stupid like me. Wait a day. So last time we chatted, I was at an airport, and turns out my rig worked pretty good. Mm-hmm. And so, but when I got home, I said, oh, you know how it is. You get that bug sometimes, like, I could reset. I think I could do a refresh. It's like painting your room. Yeah, just be careful when you do that, because you're going to forget things and they're not going to come back when you forget them.
Right. Yeah, well, you know, you got on here, you sound good, and everyone, we can just go ahead and get things started here with obviously the biggest news of the day, Johnny Depp versus Amber Heard. No, we're not going to talk about that. We're not going to talk about it, even though it's all everyone is watching.
You know what, though? Can I say something? That's actually one of the stories I was talking about, because the reason that story is so big, it's because it's harmless. Like, I think it's more of an epithet for, like, the Me Too sagas. Mm-hmm. Where, you know, people certainly online have latched on. I think the majority of the news has been like pro Johnny Depp, get rid of Amber Heard, which is a little nasty if you ask me. I can't sit here and defend that women aren't targeted online when I see stuff like that. You know what I mean? I mean, she could be guilty of sin, and she certainly sounds guilty of sin, but Johnny's not sinless. But be careful how you pile on. You know what I mean? Be careful, because you look at this celebrity thing, it's like, what do we look at? Do we look at Johnny and Amber, or do we look at Harry and Meghan? Like, which useless, or how about Travis and Chloe, or Kim and Kanye? Like, which, ultimately, which worthless celebrity couple do I want to spend my time on? None of these people are interesting enough for the attention you're giving them. None of them.
I think that Johnny Depp in particular and Amber Heard is just that, you know, Johnny Depp had so many big movies that everyone can, you know, really enjoyed. And then Amber Heard is in so many recent big blockbuster films. I mean, it's tabloid, but for the 21st century. This is, Nathan, this is the future of kind of tabloid, you know, kind of turn your brain off, celebrity brain candy that's, you know, just used to be in the National Enquirer.
Yeah. And again, though, I believe it's gotten a little traction, because this feels like the end of Me Too. I think there was a instance in the trial. I do not watch a second of this, but you know how it filters through. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, like the best bug netting still lets the mosquitoes in. But it's like, you know, there was that instance where he had recorded her saying, oh, look at me. I'm Johnny Depp. I'm a white straight male. I got beat up. Who's going to believe me? You know, it's like, yeah, there are bad people out there on either side. It doesn't mean that there aren't real victims of assault. I think that's gotten lost in there. There are people that are victims of assault, both men and women. You know, let's be honest, dominantly women who get assaulted. So let's not trivialize that. But the celebrity itself doesn't make it worse, and it doesn't make it better. I think maybe we like Johnny Depp because he's given us 30 years of fun movies. Yeah. 40 if you count Nightmare on Elm Street. But Amber Heard has given us well, not as many and not as good. Let's just be honest here. Like, on that scale, it's heavily tipped. But
let's be honest. The thing that made the trial really take off was hashtag Amber Turd. That's really what it was.
Yeah. So. Exactly. Like, we've heard of, you know, you mean defecation of character? So
yeah, that one.
But it's just like, it's so petty. Like, there's so much else in the world. But I guess if you have to look at Ukraine, you have to look at school shootings, you have to look at race riots, then you look at something like Johnny and Amber, and it's so innocent comparatively.
The stakes are so low. Yeah. Like, obviously, for the parties involved, you know, millions of dollars, and obviously defamation and defecation, all that kind of thing. But for everyone else, yeah, you're right. The stakes are so much lower than what else we could be paying attention to.
There was this guy who used to go gamble, and he would bet on both sides every time. Yeah. And somebody says, well, you're not winning anything. Yeah, but he still gets the thrill of putting money down. You know what I mean? He breaks even, and he gets the excitement of it.
He breaks even, but he loses. So he breaks even, but he loses the 5% of the house, and he wins every time. It's a pretty good deal.
It's like microdosing LSD. It's like, you're not getting the full blast, but you're getting a little something. So I've heard a little bit of it.
So there's that.
I couldn't be any less interested, to be honest.
I gotcha. So let's go ahead and move on and talk about other famous people, and namely, Tom Cruise. And is Tom Cruise in this Top Gun Maverick?
Yeah, he's the big guy. Yeah, this is. You know what's funny? I had a little fun this week. So I was telling people, if you really want to have a drinking game, go to Rotten Tomatoes. Do it right now. Go to Rotten Tomatoes. Sure. Look up Top Gun Maverick. I believe this is the best reviewed movie of the year by a mile. Like, by a mile. Like, nothing
I'm
comes
pretty
close.
Sure. I'm pretty sure that was Morbius. I'm pretty sure.
By the way, I feel really bad for those people that signed on to Morbius like 6 months ago. Like, Morbius is a Marvel movie. It's Spider-Man. It's going to be big. And all of a sudden, now you see all these announcements with Morbius in it. You're like, you guys picked the wrong horse. like Bloodborne 2. I think Burger King has a deal. It's like, no, like, you. It must have seemed like a slam dunk at the time.
Well, it's a Marvel movie. Yeah.
Yeah. Spider-Man villain. It's like the new Venom, right? It turns out the movie is more of a turd than Amber Heard. And, you know, and all these tie-ins are going nowhere because nobody likes this movie. Like, this movie was a box office bomb, a rare Marvel bomb. Even the director distanced himself. It looks like ass. Our own critic hated it. Like, nobody likes this movie, you know, and it's. But anyway, going back to Tom Cruise. By the way, doesn't Jared Leto or Leto, doesn't he strike you as like a third generation Johnny Depp? Like, he modeled his career after Johnny Depp of doing wacky characters and makeup, but nothing he's ever done has caught on. Like, he tries so hard. You know he's trying. He's trying. It just doesn't work.
Yeah, the biggest thing I know him for is Suicide Squad, and even that's like, you know, there's so many other Jokers, it's hard to stand out.
Well, think about this. Like, Johnny Depp, here's what he has in common with Johnny Depp. Both started on TV shows, check. Both in rock and roll bands, check. Both been in acclaimed thrillers, check. Both did heavily makeup to costume characters, check. Both, you know, nominated for doing effeminate characters, check. Both doing superhero movies, check. But Johnny Depp was popular, and Jared Leto is not popular. Like, you put him in everything, and it's sort of a dud. Yeah. Even Blade Runner, Suicide Squad. But he was good in Requiem for a Dream. He's excellent in that. He's a great actor. He's not a movie star. Whereas
it's something that I think a lot of people need to think about when it comes to the entertainment industry is, like, it's not about skill, because there's so many people that, you know, there's a whole industry around putting your kid in school, putting him in specialized theater schools, you know, raising them at, you know, from a young age. There's, of course, connections you can have with people in the industry, so on and so forth. But really, just like anything in the entertainment, anything in the, be it a Twitch streamer, be it a movie, be a singer, everyone has what it takes. Let's face it, you know, people have pretty faces, people have good singing voices. It takes luck, you know, just luck that something hits.
And luck, but I don't know. It's like that old story I think we talked about, like the two tennis players that are playing really hard. And the other guy keeps slamming. And he keeps winning. And the guy's like, oh, you're just getting lucky. And the other guy's like, you know, it's funny. The more I practice, the luckier I get.
Well, I think that there's so many people putting in the hard work. It's just, you need all the hard work. And you need that luck. And I think Jared Leto is putting it, like, he's starring in so many films. It's just, he needs that luck, that break, that movie is going to be, you know, awesome.
Well, it's like, he reminds me of Christian Bale a little bit. Like, Christian Bale did the same thing. And poor Christian Bale, he goes balls in to everything he can. Like, he's in the new Thor movie. Mm-hmm. And I think you recognize you're either like a gifted character actor or you're a movie star. And I hate to say it, and going back to Top Gun and Tom Cruise, there really aren't any movie stars left anymore. And I think this movie, why it's hitting so hard, Top Gun Maverick is what we're talking about, is that I go back to Rotten Tomatoes and you look at this and you can tell the critics are sort of beside themselves on how to describe why they like this movie. And what they're really getting at, and they can't say it, is they like Tom Cruise. Like, that's the deal. Like, this is such an interesting pop culture phenomenon, because Tom Cruise is like the only movie star. There are no more movie stars. They're gone. They don't exist.
Who was in the Unbearable Weight of Talent?
Nicolas Cage.
Nicolas Cage, of course.
He's a crazy actor, but he's not opening a $100 million movie anymore.
Yeah, that's true.
Like you look at Top Gun, and what was the big story? They leaked the trailer for Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning Part 1. Like the biggest trailer is for another Tom Cruise franchise movie.
Yeah.
Like, here we, and I don't know if you remember it or not, but 15 years ago, he was sort of cast out of Hollywood. He's like, oh, he's crazy. He jumps on a couch. He's a Scientologist. Paramount, they got rid of him because Mission Impossible 3 only earned like $500 million. And then something happened and he just hung around. He did these low key sci-fi mid budget movies. You know, he stayed around and he came back and he's never really been gone.
One, where it kind of looped over and over again. What was that?
I think that was the movie that changed everything. Edge of Tomorrow.
Yeah, The Edge of Tomorrow really put him back in the forefront of like this. Yeah. This guy's into action and he makes action movies.
Well, and I think that answers your question. I think it answers the question of the reviews, is that people are going to the movies. Oh, I'm not supposed to like Tom Cruise. I'm not supposed to like him. Look at him. He's arrogant. You know, he dumped Katie, whatever her name was, and he jumps on couches. He's assigned. Oh, he's so weird. But yet the movies he makes are pretty good. Like, but I'm not supposed to like him. Culture tells me I'm not supposed to like this guy. But you look at it, and this is a guy that's been famous for 40 years. He, you know, opens up like almost every movie he's ever made has made over 100 million, even the duds. He's never not been popular. And he doesn't do franchises, like, unless they're his own. Like, he did one Mummy movie. It didn't work.
Yeah.
And you forget, he was supposed to be Iron Man. He was the choice for Iron Man.
I remember that.
he turned it down. And there was a huge rumor that he was going to be in the Doctor Strange movie as Iron Man.
Yeah, I thought that was going to happen.
Wouldn't that be fun? Like that would have been a fun thing. Like he was in that Robert Downey Jr. movie. Because remember, they were friends. Mm-hmm. And he was in the Tropic Thunder movie under all that makeup as Les Grossman, the really gross agent dancing for Diet Coke.
Tropic Thunder. Yep, that was really good.
And then you look at Robert Downey Jr., who's a great actor too, but he's not a movie star. He can't open movies. Like, his movies all bomb. Like, there's no movie star anymore. Like, and you look at these people and it's like, it's okay to like someone because they have a lot of charisma. They have something that makes them irresistible. I mean, you remember, we talked about this in the 80s. It was all movie stars: Arnold Schwarzenegger, Sylvester Stallone, mm-hmm. you know, things like that. You know, Harrison Ford.
Pretty much everyone was it not the Incredibles, because that's the cartoon. What was it called? Where they just put all the action movie stars together in one movie.
Expendables.
Yeah, the Expendables, yeah. Just everyone from that. Just the whole cast list from that, yeah.
That was the gimmick. It was like these old, like, they're, you know, they have low wattage, but together. And you know what? Those movies were a huge hit. They were huge hits.
They were.
But no one's going to see an Arnold movie anymore for Arnold in it. It's not happening.
Right.
Like, arguably, you have low tier movie stars like Jason Statham and maybe Sylvester Stallone, and I would say Sandra Bullock in there. But for the most part, though, you don't have these high wattage movie stars that can get these projects made. And you know, this movie, Top Gun, if you want to see it, you got to see it in the theater. It's not streaming anytime soon. Like, it is aggressively a theatrical movie, and I forget who
doing really well. Like, already,
yes, it's very well. And the big thing about it, going back to the reviews, read the reviews, and these reviewers are at a loss to describe it. Oh, this is great. This is wonderful. It's over the top. And every once in a while, they're like, oh, but Tom Cruise, he's back. He's the movie star. They keep saying he's a movie star. He's a movie star, because they're not used to it. They're used to, like, these interchangeable Chris Hemsworths. Chris Hemsworth, mm-hmm. fine. Chris Evans, fine. Chris Pratt, all the Chrises, they're all fine. But none of them can open a movie. Like, if you put Chris Pratt in a Jurassic Park movie, it's the franchise that sells it. You put Chris Hemsworth in a Thor movie, it's the Thor that sells it. But I think you don't have Tom Cruise in Top Gun, you don't have a Top Gun.
Right.
Like, that's just how it goes. Like, Mission Impossible. I mean, did you see the trailer for Dead Reckoning?
Looks great. I did not. No, I did not.
I have no idea what's going on, but I want to see it. Like... It's like, oh, what crazy stunt? He's going into space this time.
I think people just want to know about Maverick is Top Gun Maverick is there another volleyball scene?
Yes, I think there is. I think it's in the trailer.
Yeah, there you go. Okay, we're good.
But you look at this and it's like Mad Max. People are comparing this movie to Mad Max. Like, they're saying very low CG, realistic stunts. Mm. You know, and again, Cruise has sort of got himself a reputation for doing his own thing. Yeah, and he's like, he insures himself. And it's like, okay, but that's what a movie star does. They don't just show up and have a CG uniform. Like, they're putting in the work. You know, they're doing the work. They're putting in, they want to make this movie entertaining.
Where did Jackie Chan go? Where did he go?
You know, there's a movie out there. What's that movie with Michelle Yeoh called Everything and Everywhere at Once? Did you hear about this?
I think
I did. Have you heard about this movie?
Yeah.
Everything Everywhere All at Once is... everybody who's seen this movie calls it one of the best movies of the year. Mm-hmm. Michelle Yeoh's in it. I think Jackie Chan was supposed to be in that movie. It seems like a loss to me that he's not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But but Jackie's fun. I mean, I miss him in movies, but we don't have... But, you know, at one time, he was technically the biggest movie star in the world.
Yeah.
But, I mean, if Cruise is what we got, people have Top Gun, they like it, the movie looks good. You know, I mean... I mean, you're going to see it, right? I mean, IMAX, hopefully. They got 6K IMAX cameras in there. I mean, it's like, wow. Like, they're making a theatrical movie that I need to see in the theater. And that's awesome. Like, that's what I want.
You know, honestly, I was, and I never really saw the original Top Gun movies. So just everyone can send their hate mail to popstar.com and find the email address there. But
I'll be your wingman. I'll be your wingman.
Yeah, there you go. But no, I'm here a goose and all that kind of thing. But no, I the Bob's Burger movie actually stuck out more to me. But you know, I'm more.
Oh yeah, Bob's Burgers is fun.
Yeah. H. John Benjamin is by far my favorite voice actor and just comedian out there. He's great.
He's fun. And what's funny about him? He does nothing to hide his voice. It's the same voice on everything.
Yes.
Everything.
Just ever since Home Movies, I've just been a huge fan of his. So, but I gotta say, let's just kind of wrap up movies just a little bit and saying that Multiverse of Madness came out like 2 or 3 weeks ago. Now we have Top Gun, and this thing's crushing the box office. I think it's safe to say that movie theaters survived. Like that. That's safe to say, right?
They survived, but they also predicted the death of the indie. Like, the only movies that do good are blockbusters, and I think Top Gun is going to be the first non-superhero movie to actually do good at the box office, like really good numbers. They're saying it's going to open between, 150 and 200? Like, 200 is not out of the possibility, which is nuts.
They said that they were expecting 80 to 100, but now they're looking at, maybe topping 140, which was the best Memorial Day weekend ever. So
yeah, maybe. And for Cruise, it's like the best opening he's ever had. Yep.
These
are movies that are designed to be theatrical. Like you have the Spider-Mans and everything, but those are planned for streaming and those are part of a universe. Mm-hmm. We've talked about this for 2 years. I thought movie theaters will survive if you give people a reason to see them.
Right.
Like you go see this movie, you're going to be seeing an IMAX special. Like this was designed to thrill you. And that's what you need. You need to remember that there's something special about theaters. There really is. And it's not about watching it on your phone. I mean, you can watch it on your phone if the movie's good, but you want to be entertained. You want them to wine and dine you. You want them to treat you like a king or queen.
Right.
And that's fine. And there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, earn my $20.
I have been into a few theaters in the past couple of months, and I gotta say, a lot of them did get better seats. They recline now. Mm-hmm. There's better snack offerings. Movie theaters are fun again. Pre-pandemic, they were all sticky. They were gross. They were dark. It was whatever. Movie theaters nowadays are pretty nice.
I will say this, though. One more thing about movie theaters I'll get on is that you're starting to see like a hollowing of the middle, like documentaries are going out a little bit, indie movies that, like I told you, there was a movie that came out last year, one of my favorite movies of last year, Pig with Nicolas Cage.
Yeah, yeah.
That movie should have been on streaming. That movie was never going to do good in the box office. It's just, it would have been a streaming huge hit. So they're going to have to rejigger, like, what movies are considered theatrical, but I think what we're going to start seeing, and I saw this during the pandemic, you have like, I forget what they're called, phantom events, or what are they called? They bring back old films. Like,
yeah.
In theaters right around you, they're playing like Star Trek, the motion picture, like the new remastered 4K version. They're playing that in the cinema. I would love to see that in the cinema. I've only seen it on a small screen.
Yeah, like, when I was in Texas, Alamo Drafthouse was doing, it was right when the new Godzilla movie came out, and they were doing like all the different kaiju and like all the different old, like, you know, starting with the way back when original Godzilla movie and working their way up, like, you know, stuff like that. Movie theaters are definitely embracing.
Well, it's like you go see your favorite band, and if your band is an indie band that nobody knows, you're going to see them in a little junky bar or a dive or a small stage because nobody knows who these people are.
Right.
But 10 years down the road, when they're as big as like U2 or Coldplay or something, you're going to see them on a stadium with a million other people. Like, there's something to be said about putting old movies back that have established fandoms. Like, you go see something like, you know, I hate to say it, like Wizard of Oz, Gone with the Wind, or Star Trek or Star Wars. Right. And there's a built-in audience that you want to go there to be with the audience. And you don't get that from how do I say this without being rude? You're not going to get that from a new franchise that nobody knows. I'm sorry. It doesn't happen. Like, that used to happen a long time ago. Because a movie would be in the theater, it would slow build, it'd get re-released. You know, that happens in the old days. It doesn't happen anymore. But if you have a re-release of something, you like Ghostbusters 30th anniversary or whatever, people go there, they know the lines, they repeat the lines, they're happy. They're not there to see the movie, they're there for the human connection.
Right.
And I imagine we're going to see a lot more of that. And yeah, so new movies, blockbusters, but old movies, old blockbusters, and people are going to have a good time. Go spend. I mean, that's what the Marvel movies are.
Yeah,
like you don't need to know anything about Guardians of the Galaxy 10 to know Thor is going to be in there and maybe Spider-Man.
But it's a little bit more fun if you do. But you're right; you can definitely jump right into it. Yeah. So exactly. There's that. Let's go ahead and switch on over a little bit to, you know, still keeping with movies and shows and stuff like that, mm-hmm. with this article that you linked here from IGN talking about Star Wars Celebration 2022, in that, well, you know, Disney has taken its Marvel ideology and pushed it onto Star Wars. Star Wars. So if you're into that, that's great.
They are trying.
They are trying to flesh out this universe. And obviously, I think this weekend is when the Obi-Wan Kenobi show gets released on Disney streaming. They released the teaser for Andor. So, you know, there's stuff like that.
Well,
yeah.
Can I say something about this?
What's that?
Why does everything around Star Wars have to be about death? Like, everything on Star Wars is a prequel about characters that are going to die. Like, Andor, remember him? He died in Rogue One, you know? And now he's got a series. Obi-Wan, remember? He died.
Everything's really death. Isn't that what Star Wars is? Is that it's a space opera. An opera, no. Well, its big moments are death and tragedy.
Yeah, but they also have the fun operatic moments. It's, everything in Star Wars has become so... they forget the comedy part. It's all tragedy. And a friend of mine mentioned this, too. Like, you look at modern franchises...
Do you not remember the last trilogy? Those are so funny. Oh, my God.
Yeah, oh, my God. A laugh, a riot. You know, but I was talking to our friend, you know, our... Corey Gallagher, you know, our mm-hmm. tech guy, we were talking about the new Star Wars game. It's called the Skywalker Saga. It's 9 games. It's like, oh, yeah, it's 6 games you want to play and 3 you don't. It's like there's no optimism anymore. There's no hopeful optimism. Like, you end maybe in the middle of a trilogy, you end with a hand getting cut off or someone dying, but you don't end the final movie on death. Like, that's a bummer. You want aspirations.
Happily ever after.
But everything, it's like all these series are all about death and death and death and death. And they wonder why people just aren't latching on to them. I'm sorry, but not everyone's as suicidal as the Star Wars writers. Like, I'm sorry, but there was a story that came out last week that I want to bring up real quick mm-hmm. in relation to this.
Sure.
Kathleen Kennedy, you know, the maestro behind everything now, she did something I thought was pretty brave. She said, we messed up. And she admitted that we're not going to do any more recasting. They're not going to have digital versions of characters like they did with Solo or whatever. They're going to keep the original actors and they're going to move forward. And I thought, that's what you need to do. Like, don't replace Mark Hamill. Don't do this. Whereas, like, you know, like you see the new, I don't know if you follow Star Trek at all, but Paramount, who's been on Paramount Plus, they have a new Star Trek show, Brave New Worlds. They've recasted Leonard Nimoy. They recasted Uhura. They cast, you know, recasted,
they're saying James that Kirk. Instead of creating new characters, they're casting younger, different people to play the same characters. Like, is that what she's
on
apologizing
Star Trek.
For? Yeah, yeah.
No,
but overall,
yeah, she's apologizing for recasting on Star Wars and doing CG versions of them. So she specifically mentioned Solo, that they tried to recast Harrison Ford, and she also hinted like, oh, Indiana Jones. She's like, yeah, we're not going to recast the character. It's Harrison Ford.
That's good.
Yeah. And I thought that's interesting because. That's not how Hollywood works. Like, Hollywood works like, we can recast you. We did it mm-hmm. like 10 times with James Bond. You know, we can recast. Like, Star Trek has been recast 4 times now.
At least Bond has, like, established lore for the character as to why it keeps changing, though. To be fair.
I think it's like, you know, you mentioned tragedy, right? But mm-hmm. I don't want to see the same thing every time. I would like to see new interpretations of it. I think, like... You have one life. Why would you want to repeat the same thing over and over again?
You say that, but then you look at the Halo TV series and how they changed some stuff, and everyone just like,
you gotta be somewhat respectful. Like, you gotta
yeah.
If you show up to a baseball game and they start throwing a football around, you're gonna be upset. And the Halo series, I will tell you right off the bat, I didn't want to mention it before, but can I mention it now?
Sure.
What a load of shit that show is. Seriously, like, I'm not asking you to
see,
be somewhat
I believe
respectful.
Just cursed. One second. Nathan just cursed.
There I thought I could do that.
Our sensors are on.
A load of bullplop. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, perfect.
There's no way around it. This is a show that has no compunction about being faithful, even remotely faithful. And it reminds me of, did you ever watch He-Man and the Masters of the Universe?
Of course. The cartoon?
The cartoon.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they made the movie. They made the movie with Dolph Lundgren.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'll be honest, the movie has its charms. It's kind of fun in like a bad movie way. But you watch He-Man, you watch, excuse me, the Masters of the Universe, it's unrecognizable compared to the show. You could tell it has nothing to do with the show. Nothing. The Halo show, you look at this and you're like, where's the joy? Like, oh, he takes his mask off. He has sex. You know, oh, he's dead. He's doing all this. Oh, let's subvert your expectations. You know what, Hollywood? How about just live up to my expectations? Like, they're not high. They're not high. I just want to watch a Halo show that has something to do with the franchise.
I read a comment online that, you know, Halo might have been much better served if Master Chief was there for like 3 minutes an episode.
Like
if stuff went down, Chief flies in, kicks a bunch of butt, and then goes away. And then, like, you know, you build a storyline and arc. Yeah, exactly.
That's the only way it works, because unless you are Master Chief under those parameters, you cannot do a show like that. You can't. Yeah. You can't do it. Sorry, it doesn't work. And
but they tried to make a character. You know, they tried to make a human, even though Master Chief is, you know, very notorious for just like not even having a face. And yeah, so.
Well, I just like the hubris of the Hollywood people coming in. People who have admitted they didn't even play the games or they don't even know the franchise. Oh, we don't want to be stained. Okay, but you're taking a franchise that did perfectly well, made billions of dollars, sold hundreds of millions of games for 20 plus years, and you think you can do it better. Yeah. And you also admit you didn't decide to even tap into that. And you wonder why your show is a pile of poo. Like, I'm sorry, but can somebody please respect the material? They screw it up so much. You had all this money.
I have no hope of Halo being redeemed. And honestly, what happened, like, Wheel of Time, I'm still pretty happy with. You know, obviously, I'm hoping the next seasons get a little bit better. But, you know, honestly, I want a good video game adaptation, kind of like a Gears of War, I think would be a lot of fun.
I think if you want that taste of a good adaptation, I think you watch the Sonic movies. They're perfectly fine. They're fun. You don't get much out of it, but there's not much there to begin with. But no, it's like I go back to Star Trek. Like, I like Star Trek. I'm not a Trekkie at all. I like the optimism of the films. I like the pageantry. I like the operatic. I like the silliness. I like the characters. And then you start watching these new shows that are clearly not for me. Like, they're rated R. They swear. They mutilate the characters. There's literally rape in the shows. And it's like, I get you think you have to be edgy, but this is not your sandbox. This is a sandbox you've been hired to play in. At least show some respect for the creators. And I can't reconcile, like, I can't watch the Picard show where there's all these swears. I mean, I can deal with swears. Trust me, I just did. But that's not the universe that I want. I want Picard being this. He doesn't have to be that character all the time, but it's so rough and it's so insulting. And of course, there's death. They have to kill Picard. Spoiler. They kill Master Chief. Spoiler. They kill Han Solo. Spoiler. They kill all the characters. Spoiler. Because all these writers think that to be trendy and aggressive, they have to kill characters you like. I did this bullcrap when I was in my teens. They killed Optimus Prime. It didn't work. They brought his ass back because none of the stuff you're replacing it with is interesting. It's boring because you make your own franchise. Just make your own. But you can't.
I did hear about that about Star Trek, but like Star Trek is like this weird thing where, you know, I can't even count how many new series there have been in like the past like 30 years, and none of them have been, you know, have been the next Voyager. They've never been the next Enterprise. They've never been the next, you know, next generation. Like it's hard for that to catch on. I don't know.
No, not because they don't get it. Like you have someone like Seth MacFarlane, who I'm not the biggest fan of, but he made his own derivative Star Trek show. It's called The Orville. Yeah. And that show is more Star Trek than Star Trek. That's crazy.
Because it honored the source. You know, it honored the idea of the original.
Like it's like I got one more expression. Like when they were making Superman, and they had to make Superman dark and breaking necks, and he's got to be mean and scowl, and he can't be happy and saving kittens. And like, well, why can't you just make him a Boy Scout? Oh, people would not accept the character if he was a Boy Scout. That he needs to be dark. And then I watched Marvel with Captain America, and the character is literally telling people to watch their language. Right? He's a Boy Scout, and he's popular.
I definitely enjoyed the little video cameo at the end where he's like, "So you're in detention, or oh, you know, so you're having trouble in school, or whatever." And yeah, exactly. Like literal Boy Scout. Like,
that's what Marvel's doing. They're literally doing a victory lap over Superman because people want this stuff. They want the dork. They want the Boy Scout. They want optimism. They want something fun. And this generation of writers, they're so depressed because I think they're depressed in real life. They don't understand optimism. They don't understand this is movie magic. You know, Master Chief doesn't need to take his helmet off. He didn't take his damn helmet off for 20 years. We lived with it. You know,
The Mandalorian lasted longer than Chief did. Yeah,
exactly. You know, watch Dread. Like, there's all these examples of it. It's fun. And you get it. Have some confidence in your audience. They will come with you if the writing's good. They will accept it. You know, they will come with you. They will make the journey, right? It's like, you know, I go back to Star Trek. I go back to the 1960s when Leonard Nimoy had to wear the evil Spock, you know, he wore the Spock gears. People thought it looked ridiculous. Can you imagine the character without the Spock gears now? It's like they will love those things if the writing's good. If the writing's good, they will go to the ends of the universe with you. Make it a hopeful, optimistic Superman, and people will break box office records. They will soar. But, you know, whatever. What do I know? Yep.
So we are going to go ahead and transition away from Star Wars. You know, hey, everyone should have a 3-day weekend.
Are we still on this, though, by the way? Are we still on the Disney thing real quick?
More comment?
Yeah. I got one more comment. Two things. They showed a picture of Indiana Jones. I'm optimistic. They showed a trailer for Willow. Did you see this?
I'm about to look up Indiana Jones. What are you talking about?
That same story you were just on. That same thing you were just on. Yeah, that same page. If you scroll down. Go down. Look at that. Yeah, right here. That's it.
Yeah, that's Harrison Ford.
That's Harrison Ford.
What is he doing? I mean,
he's walking with a flashlight. He's got a flashlight.
Well, he's
79 years old. 79.
Jeez.
But James Mangold.
Let the guy sit down. What the heck?
Oh man, he's like. I mean, would you accept another one? No, you want to see Harrison Ford one last time.
Well, but, you know, after the fridge incident,
we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see.
Look at that Willow. Yeah,
right.
The Willow show.
Yeah, Willow. You know, honestly, I had never seen Willow, and then my fiance. She said that she loved it, and Warwick, and you know, just what it was. A lot of people love this, and I unfortunately never really got into it. But I know a lot of people were just craving more Willow.
This was Lucas trying to make a second Star Wars, and he loves Warwick Davis. Warwick Davis was only 15 when he made the movie. You know that he was still a kid.
Yeah,
you know he was Wicket, and it never really caught on as much as Star Wars. But it's Star Wars. It's just Star Wars and fantasy. It's the exact same thing. Ron Howard did it. Val Kilmer was in it as Mad Mardigan.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be he's in Top Gun Maverick. I don't know how, but he's in there. And this one, I don't know. I mean, I'm optimistic, but honestly, I love Willow. I cheesiness aside, all the weird stuff. I love Willow. I love the movie Willow. And I'm so happy that Warwick Davis has a franchise again because he deserves it. You know,
the series does not look low, not low budget, but like it looks like they play to the strengths of fantasy. You know, things are weird. Yeah. They don't look realistic, but in like a fun way, you know?
The movie was fun. That movie, it had stop motion fun. It had a sorceress villain. It had shape shifting warriors. Willow Ufgood, I just said his name. Val Kilmer was basically the Han Solo character.
Right.
It was magic, mystery, good soundtrack. I mean, it was a Lucasfilm. That's what you expected from Lucas, right? That's what you expected. It just didn't really catch on, and that's really sad. But I mean, how many Willow movies has there been in 40 years? One. So I'll take a series. I'll see it through. It looks fun. It looks
very, very, very cool. And that's does Disney own that, or is that just coming to theaters? Yeah.
Well, that's part of that's coming to Disney Plus. It's gotcha. It's all Lucasfilm.
Yep. Okay. There you go. Say Disney Plus, like they obviously Disney's putting out more and more, you know, things for the theater with all the Marvel stuff and whatever. But man, they are they feel like what Netflix was a couple of years ago when they really started investing in, you know, kind of big budget productions. Disney Plus seems to be the best streaming service right now.
I mean, it all depends on the quality of the thing. I mean, people poo-poo on Netflix because they don't have like so many series, but then you get like the Love and what's it called again? The animated series on Netflix, the Love and Rockets, whatever the animated things, or you have like The House. Like I mean, if you're into Star Wars and Marvel, then certainly. But like, I'll tell you one thing on Disney Plus. You need to watch the new Chip and Dale's movie. Have you seen that?
I want to see that. Because John Mulaney is a very, very funny man.
What's the company that makes that film? They do all those skits. Like, they did Dick in the Box. They did Pop Stars. Never Stopping.
Lonely Island.
Yeah. Like it's surprisingly risque for Disney for a property like that. It's actually a lot of fun. Like there's a scene in the film. No spoilers. There's a scene where they get kidnapped. Spoilers. And they get out and they like, oh, we're in the valley, the uncanny valley. And it's this whole valley where. It's also where they're mocking like the bad CG from the early 2000s that looked real but fake.
Yeah.
And they're mocking everything. It mixes live action with hand drawn with CG with stop motion animation
kind of thing. Yeah.
But for the first time since Roger Rabbit, I was impressed. Mm-hmm. Like it really does. It looks solid. It's a lot of fun to look at. And it's the movie itself is okay. It's funny. It is funny. But. No, it felt like Disney's taking a risk. Yeah. And I can appreciate that because they don't. So
there you go. So, okay. All that streaming, movies, TV shows, that kind of mm-hmm. thing. We're going to move on a little bit because, good Lord, we have about 20 minutes left and then we're going to start kind of wrapping up. So we're going to move on to other topics of the day. And you have some fairly mundane ones that we can kind of run right through, I'm assuming. Things like Google Drive.
I was scraping the barrel for you.
Google Drive now has keyboard shortcuts Woo! For copy and paste. 2022. By the way, the title in parentheses, 2022.
You know what, though? I use Google Drive a lot, and they don't really support that unless you're like using Chrome. And that's even, it's like people talk about copy and paste, but this is when people talk about Google Docs, like they'll say, oh, it's free, but then they'll, oh, yeah, but Office is better. Office is robust. Google Docs is bare minimum on a lot of things. A lot of the stuff that you'd think would be there is not there. And it's curious why it's not. I don't understand. You think keyboard like nerds and everything would be all over keyboard shortcuts. Like, oh, it's easy. Just press window key control, left tab button one plus this. That's not easy. You need three hands for that or a tail. And it's hard to do. It's like, I'm not a primate. I don't have a prehensile tail. But yeah, it's whatever.
I'm surprised Google didn't just and obviously maybe it's just respecting kind of LibreOffice and open source and that kind of thing. But yeah, I'm surprised they didn't just completely rip off like LibreOffice and just upload that into Google Docs and that whole thing. I don't know.
Didn't the man who invented copy and paste just die recently?
Yeah, he did. Would not surprise me. That generation's definitely knocking off, unfortunately.
Yeah, he died 2020. His name was Larry Tesler. Hmm. But you know what's funny? You mentioned LibreOffice. I was talking with someone about this, about LibreOffice. Mm-hmm. You know how I feel about Linux. It's just not for the masses, and that's me being charitable. But you have this open source community sometimes that is so arrogant, and they feel like pirates because they feel like. They're so stubborn. I don't want Windows. I want Linux. I don't want Office. I want OpenOffice. And then OpenOffice devolves into LibreOffice. I don't want Photoshop. I want GIMP. You want bad versions of things you don't want to pay for. That's what you want. You want Adobe to spend all this money developing these tools so you can open source copy them. You want to make bootlegs of stuff you like. And LibreOffice is a copy of OpenOffice, which was a copy of Office. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I get it, but that's why I'm just using Office. I'm using the real thing. I'm not going to use a third-rate imitation. Like, I was part of it. I did Linux for a while. I did Red Hat. Yeah. I did OpenOffice. I did that. And then I got tired of all the limitations when I could just be using the real thing. And I'm paying someone... I'm paying for the people who actually created the concepts. I like paying people for work. I think you should get paid.
Linux is definitely in the special place where, hey, if you want to buy the guy who developed LibreOffice a cup of coffee, you can definitely do that. And you can even send him a message and he'll send you an email back and say, hi, thanks, and blah, blah, blah. Or you can recommend, kind of upgrades and stuff like that. I did that for Open Broadcasting Software. I was like, well, it wasn't me. I looked up a forum post where someone asked the same question I had, and the guy who was developing it was like, I don't get paid for this crap. You do it. And like, you know, because it's open source, that's kind of the attitude sometimes when people are kind of choosy beggars.
The guy who made GNU and all that, new or whatever you say it, like, then you find out like GNU, the person, yeah, the person who invented a plugin has some weird political opinion that that the rest of the community doesn't agree with, and they get banished out, or they get, I mean, there's such, no offense, if you're a developer, your community's a bunch of babies sometimes. You guys need to grow up. I mean, I know you want to do it for the fun and everything, but honestly, you can't be so petty. You can't be jettisoned, like the guy who did Firefox, right? I forget his name. Like, he, you know, he donated to one thing, so let's push him out. Next thing you know, you have Firefox sucks. You know, you have, you know, you have the guy who did JavaScript, same guy. You know, you have someone who works on the GNU license. Oh, they believe, they voted for Trump. Or this person believes in aliens. Oh, this person thinks the world is flat. You know, like, come on, people. You're making software. I don't care if the world's flat as long as the copy and paste is there. Right. And I know it's so bad, but this is why I will gladly pay for Office 365 to run my business on instead of getting the quote unquote free version from Google, because I want accountability and I like having someone to call. Like, doesn't work, I can call someone at Microsoft Exchange and get it set up. And it's not perfect all the time, but you know, there's something there.
At least Google has not killed this this project. So they're improving
it. Which one? Drive?
Google Drive and Google Docs and just all of the Google suite.
Oh, man. They tried. You remember a couple of years ago, they tried grafting that social media mess on it, like Buzz and all that. And they said, you know what? Let's take advantage of the Gmail users that trust us, and let's throw all this crap on there. If you go into do you use Gmail? You do,
yep.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, we all have private Gmails, of course. Mm-hmm. But if you ever look, do you use the Gmail website, or do you go through client software?
I do actually install some add-ons and use them. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Like for me, I use Office. I use a lot of things. I use third-party clients, but the website itself is an exercise in frustration sometimes because. And I used Gmail app on my iPad the other day, and I didn't understand what was going on. I never felt older. Like, oh no, I'm reaching that point where I don't know if I can go beyond. Like, oh, it's easy. Just swipe down from the left, press up, go here. I'm not doing any of that stuff. I've learned what I learned.
Not intuitive, but very short to access. And that can kind of bite them in the butt where it's like, oh, it's just two swipes. And it's like, yeah, but how do you remember the 18,000 swipes you need to do everything? I don't know. Yeah.
Well, can I give you one example, though, before I go? Sure. On Gmail, when you're using Gmail web client, right, and you're responding, because they have threaded emails now, and sometimes, Lord help you if you lose track of where you're at, because that email is gone. And so, but let's say you find the email you want to reply to, if you're using the web app, they hide the subject. It's hidden. You have to activate the subject. And I say to myself, why are you hiding that? Like, they expect you to not want to take care of certain things. And maybe they have the numbers to prove that most people don't care. But I say to myself, though, it's like, they take certain things and they make you jump through hoops for basic productivity in a way that nobody else does. And maybe it's maybe Google's right, maybe people don't care, and maybe Microsoft's wrong and people don't care, but I don't know, it just feels like there's a creeping displacement that goes on with Google products where, oh, we'll take care of that, oh, don't worry, don't just type a little bit, we'll finish the sentence, we'll correct it, oh, your grammar, we got the grammar for you. I could just sit back and let Gmail take care of my whole email. I don't even have to respond. Like, it feels like I'm being automated out of my own email sometimes, and I don't like that. I really don't. It feels a little too much.
Yeah, it certainly is a push that Google, you know, especially Google, can really tackle with all the AI and all the data that they collect and that kind of thing. They are definitely pushing for, you know, automating processes and automating just filling out fields and stuff like that. I could definitely see that. But now, we're going to move on from Google Drive.
Yes.
I did not expect to spend 10 minutes on that.
That was so exciting. Yeah,
I know. Crazy. Let's go ahead and talk real quick about, let's see, we have a couple Microsoft stories here and a PlayStation stories, but some of the ones that I had... that I had sent to you. This one, real quick, just another update, because I think Maryland joins one other state, and I think it's like Nevada or something like that, or I'm sorry, it's Arizona. It was Arizona in March. Talking about, yeah, alarm, thank you. Talking about using your iPhone and being able to upload high definition scans of your driver's license. And I guess they made it official. You can use your iPhone to identify yourself.
Well, I'm for it and I'm against it for different reasons. I mean, how many of us do this already? Just take a snapshot and just keep it in our photo gallery.
I definitely do that when I travel. Yes.
Yeah, definitely do that. And there are cases like I was when I was flying last time, it was much easier for me to use Apple Pay to do ticket stuff because I didn't want to bring my wallet out. Like when you travel, you really shouldn't have your wallet accessible where people can steal it. Right. And I was surprised at how easy it was. And I get it. I get that idea. But I want to look down the road like you have yourself an all-encompassing thing. Like, is it okay to have your ID there? Well, of course, it's being stored. You have this and that. But in China, you know, they have WeChat. Mm-hmm. And WeChat for American, because Americans are Americans. Westerners, yeah. Westerners, I should say, understand as much about WeChat as I think maybe the native peoples of America understood about Britain.
Let me do some self-promotion.
They don't get it. Yeah.
Computer America,
are you on WeChat?
About a year and a half ago, I did an article on super apps, which is essentially what WeChat is. And there were like two or three others where it's essentially you take PayPal, like you take your banking app, you take PayPal,
everything.
You take your email, you take your social security, you take your government ID, you take everything and just mix it all into it. You take Amazon and just your work email and you all roll it into one. And that's what a super app is.
Airbnb? Airbnb is leaving China because of this, because they can't compete against WeChat. They can't compete against it. It does everything.
We did an article on super apps, and you're right. America does not have super apps because they would have been hit with kind of antitrust and anti-competitive. Yeah, Americans don't have super apps.
Well, they don't have it, but they also don't like. They don't have an understanding of why it is. Like, WeChat isn't just one app. It's mandated. If you get a driver's license, WeChat. You get car insurance, WeChat. Phone number, WeChat.
If you want to do business at a business, you need WeChat. Yeah.
Oh, social credit system, WeChat. Everything is WeChat. Mm-hmm. Facial recognition, WeChat. It's mandated. It's literally government controlled. Like, it's literally the utopia what socialists have been talking about. It's all mandated. And if you, then God forbid, you step out of line, WeChat, it's all there. So in some ways, I look at this and I say to myself, well, this might be inching towards that. But I thought to myself, well, Apple's still a private company. And for all the problems they have, they're pretty damn good on privacy. Yes. They are good. And I do have Apple Pay. I have an Apple card that I got. Mm-hmm. And I got to tell you, do you have Apple card?
Craig does. I'm watching you all the time.
Have you seen what it's like to pay on there? It's pretty revolutionary.
Yeah.
It's a little turnstile. Like you just turn it up and down. You can see exactly what you bought. You see exactly what the interest rate was. You say, if I pay this much money, then I'm only paying this much interest. It is so transparent. It is the most transparent thing I've ever seen. Like your Capital One, your Credit One, whatever, primitive compared to Apple Pay. It really is.
I remember when Apple, Tim Cook was talking about Apple Pay, and that was like the moment where Apple stock went from like a pretty good stock to have to like the must-have stock, and it jettisoned them to $1 trillion is because everyone saw what Apple was doing. It was like, Apple is going to revolutionize finance. And I think that they have definitely done, even though they still partner with, I think they still partner with like Visa or MasterCard.
It's Goldman Sachs for their own card.
Goldman Sachs, they are doing new things in finance, and it's really impressive.
It's transparent in a way that I'm not expecting, but you put your driver's license in there. So, I mean, it's all within Apple's encrypted app. So I can see this. But of course, Google will eventually get this, and it won't be as robust. You know this. Mm-hmm. And then people will do this. And what's going to happen with identity theft? I mean, this is a thing you take. When I see this, Ben, I think to myself, well, this makes sense to me. A driver's license, a state ID, going through a private company for that, as opposed to just putting a piece of plastic in a piece of leather in your wallet. I mean, is it really more secure? I mean, can spoofing not help you?
It's like your social security number. You know, that number that you can never change and is just a simple nine digits.
It's not even laminated. Mm-hmm, but then I say to myself, well, what's next? And I say, where did this go? And I'm not really interested in the ID, but I am interested in, like, for example, medical history cards. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm interested in that because Apple, again, is ahead of the game on this. They've done much more than anybody else regarding this, thanks to Apple Watch and health. Like, why is it that when I go to a doctor, and you know exactly what I'm talking about, I have to sign 20 pieces of paper every time when they're already connected to my chart? They don't bother reading it. I have to fill out paper. Like, why can't there just be a digital signature that allows this information to be transferred? And then I ask the doctor, what can I do? And they say, well, you can fax it to us.
Yeah.
Fax? What decade is this? Like, you have all this crap, you got, and you have all these systems, and my phone can do a better job. Like,
yeah.
It's called email. Let me text you.
Yeah.
I don't have a fax machine at my house. And then I look at this, and I say, like, this has all the components of solving so much wrong in the medical system. If you can trust your driver's license and your credit card to this app, you can trust your medical history. And
yep.
We saw this pop up with the COVID vaccination cards, and everyone got scared, and rightfully so, because they were all third parties. One in Boston, it was run by the city. Like, no, we don't want Boston running it. They can't even run a Metro card. I'm talking about, if you're going to have it, partner with a third-party company that knows what they're doing and solve the problem. And maybe
right.
driver's license are the way to go. Maybe it's the start.
I was just talking about this before the show, but Apple's end game is that, you know, right now, I think most people, you grab your keys, you grab your wallet, you grab your cell phone. Like, those three mm-hmm. things are, you know, kind of what you do when you walk out the door. Apple wants to make it so that you only grab your phone. You leave your wallet at home. You leave, you know, because you can pay, you can identify yourself, you can do all your loyalty apps, you can do all that thing from your phone. You know, and I think you can already do it where you can sync up to cars and you have apps for your cars. You can start
yes.
your car, you know, with your phone in the car with you. Apple wants it that, you know, the one device that you cannot live without is their device, and they're doing it better than anyone else.
Well, I've taken just snapshots of my car insurance, just on a photo.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
No, just a snapshot, and my DMV accepts that as proof of insurance. But did you know you can actually put your – I don't know if you have Progressive, Geico, I don't know who you have, but you can put that in your Apple Wallet right now as a card.
Yeah, I have it.
It's all there. And honestly, I'm sorry, but it's like I say to myself, oh, that's whatever. But it's pretty useful. Like, it's actually useful. And this seems like, I don't know, do we trust everything to the little phone in our pocket, or do we trust everything to the little flap of leather in our pocket? And I'm starting to think that maybe it might be time to start utilizing the services we have to make our lives better. Because mm-hmm. again, you can't just say something old is good. You can't say my little flap of leather is better than the phone all the time. You have to prove it to me now, because I'm telling you, I've seen the phone, I've seen the digital stuff make people's life better. Maybe not everybody, but we are, you know, if we're going to get to the future, Ben, we gotta start being a little more futuristic about
right.
it.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I don't know. I mean, and I don't think it's going to be WeChat. Like, I don't think this is a stepping stone to WeChat, but I'm just saying it. But that's why people are afraid, by the way. That's the hesitancy is because of that.
You know, but Apple has to jump through so many hoops, and the fact that the states still run this, you know, the fact that the local governments still run this, you know, it's not like Apple saying, we're going to take this on us. The states have to comply to Apple's rules. No, Apple has to jump through the million hoops to get this working. And hey, looks like they did for two states now.
Can I just say one more thing and I'll be
sure.
done?
Sure.
I think the part that people are hesitant, though, is what happens when everything is consolidated. Like, you know, your phone has an Amber Alert when it goes off.
Mm-hmm.
Burr, burr. You know, what happens if you become on the no-fly list and all of a sudden Apple's requires to tap into, like, a national registry? You know, let's say you're wanted. All of a sudden you're at the airport and you show your card. You know, this person has a warrant out for them. Or I hate to say it, bring up tragedy, but what happens if you're going to buy a gun and all of a sudden there's a flag on your ID? Like, these things can help you. Like, if you're a bad guy, you'd be against that. You'd be against that.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're a law-abiding citizen, you'd want to know if someone's using your ID or not. Like, there's a lot of interesting stuff we can do here, I think, that can help resolve these existing issues that we're not talking about. We're not talking about any of this stuff. And
right.
I really wish we would. And I don't think it's a matter of just taking a snapshot of your driver's license. How can we use this to make our lives more efficient and better? Not necessarily bad, just better. So. Right.
So, Nathan, we have the story here that I want to talk about. It was a Dune and this DAO and this whole crypto Web3 kind of thing. And it's just, it's hilarious. It is by far my favorite story of 2022. And this is just like a little bit of an update. But unfortunately, Nathan, I just don't think we have the time. So I'm going to leave. Go ahead.
I will say this. This story you mentioned actually mentions that animated show I mentioned on about Netflix that I forgot the name of, Love, yeah. Death, and Rockets. He's involved in this story. It's crazy.
Yeah. It's and for everyone out there, I'll include it in the show links just because I think it's so much fun. Essentially, this collective bought, raised $1 million in cryptocurrency, distributed tokens based on how much money you gave them, and they collectively bought a storyboard. They called it like the Dune Bible from like an unreleased Dune movie. And it's like a storyboard. There were colors, and the original guy did it back in like the 70s or 80s, whatever it was. They bought this thing, Nathan, thinking that they could create movies, TV shows, artwork, video games. They were going to launch just this whole thing, and they never really realized that just because you buy this book doesn't mean you buy the rights to Dune. So they're a little up Schitt's Creek because, a Dune movie just came out and they can't do anything with this thing.
Pretty good Dune movie too, by the way.
I liked it.
Yeah, it's surprising. That's the biggest shock. No, yeah. I thought you were going to talk about like the Seth Green story where his NFT was stolen and he can't make the show now. Like he was going to make a show about, the Bored Ape Yacht Club, that big scam.
Yeah.
That scam thing.
I believe every stolen NFT is a lie. I think they're all traded between each other and no one ever really gets anything stolen. I think they steal from themselves and they make headlines and that's it. Honestly,
I'll say this. You and I agree with this. I think the art world's like this. I think people who pay like $50 million for a painting, there's some money laundering going on there. That's how to legally do it. And NFTs are just another version of this. I'm not going to invest in NFTs because I'm not stupid. I'm not going to invest in this, but I will like you.
What will your Twitter profile picture be?
My Twitter profile will be a picture of the back of my head that costs me nothing to make. Nobody wants to buy. If you want to buy the picture of the back of my head and pay me, I will sell it to you. But I will make another one of another picture of the back of my head.
As long as you mint it on the blockchain.
It's just an Excel spreadsheet. That's all it is. It's an Excel spreadsheet. But
yeah,
it's fun to watch. It's fun to watch because you feel, like I said, I told you before, I think NFTs are basically like the commemorative plates they used to sell on TV. Like, collect your commemorative plate and hang it on your wall. It's going to be worth money someday. We promise. No, it's not.
What we have been associating here on the show is, I don't know if you remember, a couple of decades ago, like maybe in the 90s, it was a thing where you could buy stars. You can name stars after people.
Yeah.
And turns out, no one really recognizes anyone else's database of names and star correlations, You pay this company $30 and they'll send you a certificate saying this star is yours, but no one really cares that that company gave you a certificate. Same thing with the NFTs. No one cares that, hey, that NFT exists because, no one cares.
Well, a couple of years ago, there was a story about how, go back to Tom Cruise, that Tom Cruise like bought part of the moon. Like he invested in this thing for like...
Oh, he bought himself an acre on the moon, huh?
Yeah, but... There was this book series, a book a long time ago, like 30 years ago, called like You're Terrific or something, or People That Matter. And to get in the book, you had to pay. And then they'd send you a copy of the book and you say, oh, my name's in a book. Like, you paid for it. Like, that's why it's in there. Like, there's always ways to scam.
Yeah.
And part of me is like, I kind of wish I was in on it, like from that end. But I'm not a horrible person. I'm not trying to sell people snake oil.
Everyone thinks that they can, and I feel like that's how a lot of these stories about people that actually do lose real USD for these NFTs and stuff is that they think they can get in on the other side. Not really. Me. That's not how that works.
No, yeah. I got an angle. I can do it. Yeah, you're like every gambler. Like, no, I got an inside trade. The horse is gonna a gambler.
Turns out Elon Musk will not double your Bitcoin if you send him 1.5 Bitcoin to his wallet. He will not send you back 3 Bitcoin. That's not how that works.
Elon Musk is having a lot of fun.
We could have a whole show dedicated to just Elon.
What a change he's made. I've come around on him, but I'm going to leave you with this question. I'm going to leave you with this rhetorical question.
Mm-hmm.
Is he a troll?
Man, he is the biggest. He is a self-admitted shitposter. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know what to think anymore. I don't know what to think with him. I think he's entertaining though, but I don't know if I'd invest in him. So.
Yeah. Well, ever since he got in trouble for saying that funding secured $420 or $420, and then this time it's like Twitter funding secured $54.20. I was like, yeah, this guy's stupid. The last thing we're going to talk about real quick, and that's just because I know certain people of our audience would really like this because they really love the game Horizon Zero Dawn Netflix series possibility. Maybe.
Had Halo not existed, maybe a little more happy. Sony's getting into this. Sony's expanding their franchises. Of course, Horizon Zero Dawn is now a PC game as well. God of War. Did you see they announced the God of War one as well? So yeah. I think Netflix is getting God of War, which I think is fine. It all depends if the show's good. I think the one we're going to look for, is to see how the HBO version of The Last of Us turns out with Pedro Pascal.
Yeah.
And everything. Again, on paper, it doesn't seem to resemble the show very much. Like, the characters are all changed. That doesn't matter to me. Is the show good? I don't care. Is the show good? So
I mean, I think streaming is an especially good place to kind of do this thing. I actually loved Arcane. That was a very good anime series.
I heard great things about it.
For a video game franchise that is a ripoff of another video game franchise, which is created in the subset of a custom game, it's come a long way and it has some pretty good characters and some pretty good moments. So I'm hopeful for that.
I'll say this: you can make Pong an epic miniseries. It doesn't matter. That's the one thing I want to say.
Where is the new murder noir Pac-Man movie we've all been craving? We need that.
You could, but again, it doesn't matter. They made a Chip and Dale movie that has nothing to do with the cartoon show. It's completely out of genre. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter what the concept is. It doesn't matter what the idea is. If the execution's right, people will watch it. That's the trick. Everybody, this sounds like a good idea. Yeah, it sounds like a good idea. Don't mess it up, which you will mess it up. I don't know how they're going to make Twisted Metal a show. Yeah. Metal Gear Solid is basically a movie anyway. I don't know. Just make it work.
Weird.
Just make it work.
I was just talking about Twisted Metal the day before, and wow, they're actually going to make that, huh? That's crazy.
Yeah, then I saw Anthony Mackie. He's like, oh, crap.
The only thing I can say about it real quick is Horizon Zero Dawn and the fact that the guy that made Chappie is behind it. I hate Chappie. Chappie is
talking
my
about,
worst.
What's his name? What's the guy's name? Neil Blomkamp. South African director. He got his start. Doing Halo commercials.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was supposed to do the Halo. He was supposed to do the Halo movie.
I think District 9 was actually reusing some, footage for Halo.
Yeah. Peter Jackson got involved with it. All this stuff. They were going to do it. Microsoft pulled out. I still think he would have been an interesting guy. I still think he's got a good movie in him. He was supposed to do RoboCop. He's supposed to do so many things he never does. Right. And nothing he's done since District 9 has been really that great. But they haven't been bad. Elysium wasn't terrible. Chappie was okay.
Chappie's terrible. I don't care what you say. Chappie is the worst movie known to man. Ugh.
Chappie is a worse version of Short Circuit.
When they had the product, and the part that always gets me is when they had the product placement of, it's they just hooked up 8 PS3s together and suddenly that was the most powerful computing unit known to man. I was like, what the heck?
They were really doing that though in real life. You know that, right? They were actually there was this company out of Boston. I think it was Cambridge, actually. I think it was MIT. So a company college that was actually asking people to download a little software app on their PS3s so they could borrow computing power to do comprehensive calculations on something. They really were trying to do a network.
It's kind of like the SETI project. Okay, we're going to wrap this up, but I will say that if you want a movie that is out of genre, you be sure to check out the upcoming Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey.
I heard people talk about this. There are two movies that I want to recommend that I haven't seen personally, but I think we just talked about one, about Everything Everywhere All at Once. Haven't seen it, but people I like that I trust have seen it. And I have seen, I have seen a little bit of the Nicolas Cage movie, The Unbearable Weight of, what is it called?
The Unbearable Weight of Talent.
Massive Talent, yeah. Starring also Pedro Pascal. What I've seen of it is hilarious. So like there are, for every Top Gun where you know what you're going to get, popcorn, yay. There's these, there are good movies being made that are going to be under the radar. So it's all, have you noticed all my metaphors are like aeronautical? It's crazy.
But, it's okay.
Yeah, I'm glad movies are back. Movies are back. People are going to see them. Like these movies have all made money. That's good. It's right. Not everything needs to be Doctor Strange, like you're just looking at. Not everything needs to be that. Mm-hmm. Have you seen it, by the way? Have you seen Doctor Strange?
No, Craig and my mom did, but and they said they loved it. I mean, let's just face it. Doctor Strange is probably right now the best active Marvel character out there.
Can I say something? You're flipping through Popazar right now, that little turnstile.
Yeah, the carousel. Yep.
There is a relating. If you click on it, you'll see a picture of Doctor Strange, and if you keep clicking through there, you'll see a picture of Bruce Campbell in the Evil Dead game. So Bruce Campbell is in Doctor Strange, by the way, as a character. Yeah, he's also present during one of the end credits. Yeah, it's a Sam Raimi movie. He's in every Sam Raimi movie.
Yeah,
all of them, every one.
Yep, there we go. Okay, so I think with that, we're going to go ahead and play the music there. The show went a little bit long, but that was perfect. This has been a very relaxing, fun conversation, Nathan. I thank you for coming on the show.
Yes, and happy Memorial Day, everybody. Go do something fun and pay your respects.
Absolutely, everyone. So once again, ComputerAmerica.com will have links to everything we talked about here today, as well as links to PopZara.com if you want to check that out. Nathan joins us every last Friday of the month, and it's always so much fun. So everyone, until next time, have a great day. Thank you so much. We'll catch you here on Tuesday. Have a good one, everyone. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.